I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we get set for another busy midweek of European action. Celtic round off a poor Champions League campaign at home to Feyenoord with only pride, money and coefficient points up for grabs. Rangers are in Seville ahead of Real Betis tomorrow as fans await confirmation of a long-term injury for Danilo, and St Mirren add a new defensive option ahead of the busy festive schedule. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight you have the returning Marvin Bartley and Mark Wilson.
Well, I don't think this week will be shaping up like many fans would have thought on the European front. I'm pretty certain Celtic fans, when they saw the group stages being pulled out, they would have thought that this might have been a crucial fixture. However, it isn't, but Brendan Rodgers perhaps won't see it that way tonight. He needs a reaction from Sunday's game. He needs a win in the Champions League to put things to bed. And for Rangers, well, they are through anyway, but can they make it extra special? Can they top the group and go right into the last 16? Another busy week ahead.
And he's back. One yes. Big win for Queen of the South at the weekend, and it's enough to drag you back in. It's great to see you. How have you been?
I've been missing this place, mate. I've been sitting on my Xbox, not doing too much.
Just gaming.
Just constant gaming, mate. Honestly, and missing the
lads. You're nearly off that. It's bad for you. I've told you many times.
You're right. My concentration was all over the place.
Playing Football Manager.
Just restarting.
Delete. Anyway, it's good to have Marvin Bartley back with us. Mark Wilson, I'll keep him right, I'm sure, in case he's forgotten how it works. So 0141 951 1025. It is a busy midweek of European action. So let's hear from you, Celtic fans. Are you going to the game tonight? Maybe you're not going and you've decided against it because it's not enough, it's not dragging you in, it's not got the appeal. You could give your thoughts on that front as well, but we always like to hear from those of you who are going to the big games out and about around Glasgow. What does tonight mean to you then? What are your expectations? How important is it? As Mark Wilson says, you can't ever really write a game off at clubs like that, or can you? You're looking for a reaction anyway. There's obviously a financial gain there, maybe a chance to see which players can step up. Is that something you would do? Would you experiment a bit? Or do you want to see Celtic go all out and try and banish some of these records that people keep hitting you with about X amount of games since a win and X amount of points and all that sort of stuff? Are you going to the game tonight? Maybe you've decided to not go to the game tonight. And what are you hoping for? What are you expecting? What are you thinking? 0141 951 1025. One day on this show, Rangers fans, I will ask for your reaction to some good injury news, but that day is not today, and it is no time soon by the looks of it. We're talking months, apparently, for Danilo. Our reporter Andrew McLean is in Seville. We'll bring you the very latest from Philippe Clement. But for now, what is your reaction to those reports that Danilo is out for a long time? How big a blow is it? Have you got faith on people in the building to step up and contribute, or does a new striker become an absolute must if it wasn't already in January? 0141 951 1025. Aberdeen, of course, in European action tomorrow. I suspect they've got more attention towards the League Cup final at the weekend as well. So whatever it is you've got for us tonight, let's hear it right now on 0141 951 1025. Let's go to Celtic Park nice and early and get an early flavour of the build-up with Gabriel.
Thanks, Gordon. After 31 years, the group stage of the Champions League takes its final bow tonight. Reforms to the tournament mean Europe's elite club competition will follow a Swiss model of one big league table beginning next summer. And how Celtic would love to go out with a bang here. There's been many great games over the years, ones long live in the memory. And could they make another memorable occasion this evening? They've only got 1 point in their group so far. They're already eliminated. even though they feel their displays deserve more. And as we all know, they've not won a home match in the Champions League for a decade. Captain Callum McGregor says it's unfair to brandish stats like that at the current squad, but the club must do better, that is for sure. And how Brendan Rodgers would love to end the 10-year-long hoodoo tonight. He is, of course, the last man to win a game in the competition against Anderlecht back in 2017. Rodgers says his side are ready to make the breakthrough sooner or later. As you were just discussing there, will he go all guns blazing this evening? After all, Celtic cannot qualify, and tonight's opponents, Feyenoord, have already finished third in the group. So perhaps he'll use it as a chance to test some players at this level, as he suggested in his press conference yesterday, with one eye on the January transfer market and the other on Hearts this Saturday. But of course, he'll be looking at his players, who must show a reaction after the shock result against Kilmarnock on Sunday. Team news-wise, Cameron Carter-Vickers and Dyson made a train yesterday, but Rodgers says that both of them will not be used tonight. I'll bring you the lineups when they come, Gordon, just before 7 o'clock.
And up until that point, you can predict your lineup. Tell us who you think should play and who shouldn't. How much does this matter to Celtic tonight? What do you want to see, Celtic fans? Are you able to write it off? I mean, can you ever do that? How important is the victory? Try and end all these records, as Gabriel says. There is good money up for grabs in there as well. Or have you? Have you had enough of the Champions League? You'd rest everybody and prioritise the league stuff at the weekend. You let us know. You decide. 0141 951 1025. And as always, we always like to debate who should play and who shouldn't play. We'll get to Seville a bit later on as well. Not only is Danilo out for a few months, which we'll get Philippe Clement's answer on, it appears Todd Cantwell hasn't travelled with Rangers either. So I did say it was bad personnel news. And in fact, in the last couple of minutes, several months, Philippe Clement says, about Danilo. So there you go. 0141 951 1025. Call us right now, Celtic fans. Are you on your way to the game? Are you sitting down to watch it? Have you decided against it altogether? And what are your thoughts ahead of Feyenoord at home? What are yours, Mark Wilson? How important?
I do think it's important. I really do. Particularly because what's happened in previous Sundays domestically, where there does seem to be a bit of a malaise setting in, and Brendan Rodgers has to extinguish that quickly. And this is the next game along. And as a prestige game in the Champions League against tough opposition. Of course, all the records that have came with Celtic have been negative for the past 10 years at home. Gabriel just touched on there. It was away at Anderlecht at the last one under Brendan Rodgers. So, you know, all those stats are definitely something that a team doesn't want to carry with them. Tonight, they've got a chance of kind of getting that monkey off their back by winning. So resting players and giving players experience at this level, I'm not too sure about that. I think Brendan Rodgers will desperately want to win this. He'll desperately want a good performance to go along with it. Fun enough, I played in one of these dead rubber games in the Champions League.
Is that why you played?
No, I was
the man for the big occasion.
By the way, it was a constant. We played against Villarreal and we were out as well, and we couldn't qualify for Europa League or UEFA Cup, and I played, and there was spaces in the crowd that night. It was an odd occasion, but we took it as serious as we could and we went out there and won.
So it doesn't make any difference. It didn't make any difference to you as a player mindset wise.
No, it was a good win bonus as well. Always helped. But to play, no, because you're playing at the top level, and I know you're out, there is no chance of qualification. However, you want to perform at your best at the top level, and this is the top level, even though it's a dead rubber. So the Celtic players that are selected tonight, I'm pretty sure, would be similar to I was and my teammates on that night were. And for Brendan Rodgers, yeah, of course, he wants his team back with that zip and intensity that they've been known for a couple of years.
All right, let's bring in Martin, who's a Celtic fan from Clydebank. What are your thoughts on tonight, Martin?
I don't know. I mean, I'm going to line tonight obviously show support for the team. Hopefully we can nick a result. And, you know, because it's still worth money, you know. I think it's a good chance to try a few people out. One in particular I would like to see, he scales a chance at left-back. I don't know if Taylor's up too much, and especially at this level, we've seen him, he's been exposed, and he definitely get exposed against Kilmarnock for the week, so obviously Rodgers doesn't fancy bearing the bay, so maybe try that as well. I think Turnbull should be thrown in tonight. His contract coming up at the end of the season, we need to know if he can compete at this level, otherwise, what's the point in keeping him here?
So it sounds like you want to win, because, I mean, that's quite obvious. Who wouldn't? You'd rather win than not, but you're still seeing room tonight for a bit of experimentation. Is that fair?
100%. I mean, the game's a bit of a dead rubber. They're already through, we're already out. Let's see if guys can compete at this level, especially once we're fighting for contracts. Let's see if they can compete. If no, let's move them on and get new guys in who maybe can compete at this level.
Marvin, what is to be gained from tonight?
Well, there's things to be gained if you get a good performance and, you know, and a win on the back of that. I understand what Martin's saying in terms of experimenting with players, but I think that's too high risk. If I'm honest, I think Brendan will play his strongest team. I think, you know, the players he's talking about whose contracts are up or trying scales at left back, for example, do that domestically. You know, you're going into a Champions League game. There is no free hits for Celtic players or the manager when you're playing at that level. You know, when you pull that shirt on, there's always pressure upon you, regardless if there's, you know, spaces in the crowd like Mark spoke about there. You know, Celtic have to get performance today, especially after what happened at the weekend. So, you know, I can't see Brendan experimenting too much, because if you're at the end of a, you know, a big defeat today, you know, that doesn't bode well.
See, in fairness though, if the examples Martin is using in his mind are players that aren't playing that well anyway, in the case of Greg Taylor, that's Martin's take on it, and we know that there isn't a midfielder that's nailed on there anyway, so it's not like, you know, it's not like you're throwing curveballs in all over the place. Is it worth even a level of...
Well, you're talking about moving scales out of centre-half when you've already got Carter Vickers missing as well. You know, so you know, that then becomes, you know, dangerous. Two new centre-backs going in, and if they don't gel straight away playing at this level, you know, Turnbull's slightly different because he has played games before. I think we all know what he can do. Maybe he does deserve an opportunity at this level, but I just think, you know, when you start moving your defenders about, it's a recipe for disaster.
Martin, the kind of record, if you like, that, you know, the length of time without a home group stage win, how much does that matter to you? Is that something you really want wiped off, at a line drawn under, or will people next year say, yeah, they can only win when it's a, you know, it's a dead rubber anyway? How much do you want that monkey off the back?
It'd be great. I mean, of course, it is a wee bit embarrassing, but also, like, taking out of context a wee bit, it's not as if we've played at home in the Champions League every year for 10 years, but I think it's definitely something we need to get rid of, and hopefully tonight we can do it. But as I say, I don't know, be very difficult. Fylde are a very good side. We've seen that before, played them away, and the results they've had in this group. I think it'll be very difficult tonight.
Yeah, they're tangible things, Mark. Money. Over £2 million for a win. Mm-hmm. Celtic fans are starting to get a bit bored of money, though, because they think, well, there's 72 of those million in the bank anyway. But there's money. That's a tangible thing you can achieve. Mm-hmm. You can achieve, obviously, coefficient points for those who are interested in that sort of thing. Is it about the stuff that you can't touch? Confidence, momentum, belief, is, you know, famous phrases over the years about being X amount of games away from a crisis, in, you know, in Glasgow.
Of course, yeah.
If you lose at Kilmarnock and it really didn't go well tonight, you know, like particularly bad or whatever, that just becomes a massive problem, doesn't it? And then this whole narrative of, oh well, it's a dead rubber, that won't matter, because we're very selective when we use that, of course,
and the people going along tonight that say it doesn't matter, if it does go badly, they'll be the people shouting loudest that it did matter because it's a Champions League game. So Brendan Rodgers will understand this. He's been at the elite level for a long time. He understands what comes with these games and how they can quickly go wrong as well. But I think Brendan Rodgers will be desperate to win tonight, because when he looks at the other five games that they've played in this group stage, at times in the game they've been in it and they look like they can compete, but he's coming out and saying the same things time and time again. I'm pretty sure he'd want to sit there at the end of the night at press conference and say, everything came together, we got everything right tonight, and we got our just reward. So it's not a total write-off, and it's something to build on for next year should they get to the Champions League.
I also wonder if he would just take a win in any form. You know, we've said this about Celtic in the Champions League, that it feels like at any other level of football, any age, anywhere, any level, sometimes a team will just scrape a result and they'll just get one, and it'll just happen, almost like a law of averages. You just eventually get a result that you might not even deserve. Watching Celtic in the Champions League, it feels like that's impossible.
Oh yeah, you know, they do look, you know, a long way away from that. But like you said there, Brendan will definitely take win over performance today. You know, for all the stats that people are reeling off, and I agree with Martin, that's slightly unfair, because, you know, it's not like Celtic have been in it every single season. It's not like it's the same players. Yeah. So, you know, those sorts of things don't really matter. It's about the here and now and about today's game. You know, a win would be absolutely massive for them. You know, I think confidence-wise, I think it will show, as Mark said there, a bounce back from the weekend, and it'll show the fans a reaction that the fans want to see as well. You know, they want to see that high tempo again. They want to see, you know, players running forward. They want to see goals being scored. So, you know, hopefully that can happen for Celtic tonight.
Martin, anything else you want to see Kyogo restored back to the starting 11? Is that, or is that an experiment worth sticking with?
I think tonight, you know, it puts my mind back to a few years ago when we were knocked out Europa League, but Kyogo played and he got an injury. I think if that happens again, he's in real trouble, especially with the run we're on domestically at the minute. I think just let O play the night, maybe bring Kyogo on if things need a goal or whatever, but I would give O a chance tonight and definitely bring Kyogo back in for keep him for Saturday.
What do you think, Mark? Is that how you find out how much it actually matters? It's easy for everyone to, and Brendan Rodgers will say it matters as well, but there might be a clue in the team news that we kind of speculated a bit last night. As in, it takes someone like Cameron Carter-Vickers. If this was win or bust to get through, would he have played? And I'm not saying yes, because I don't know his physiological state, but you know, it's still an interesting thought. So
yeah.
So therefore, it clearly doesn't matter as much as it could then, and I wonder if we'll see that elsewhere in the team selection.
Team selection will be interesting, because Brendan Rodgers saying at the weekend after the defeat that he was looking to win, he was desperate to win, but then slightly shifted a bit by saying he wants to see other players at this level. And I don't know what that really means, because having a look at Celtic's bench from Sunday, I don't know why you'd want to gauge some of them at this level, because most of them will not be at Celtic probably past next year, you've got to say, or not be competing at this level. Or if they are, then Brendan Rodgers has got a bigger problem than he first thought, because he wouldn't have been backed in January or the summer. So not too sure what you gauge by rotating things. I think for me, play your strongest team, try and get a bit of rhythm, bit of confidence back in the team, and that includes Kyogo, because I think he's had a decent shot at it, but I don't think he's a starter at this level yet. Might prove me wrong in a couple of years, whatever, but definitely not at this level. Play your best players.
Kyogo's an interesting one, because although he's having a poorer season by his own high standards, he does have two really good goals in the Champions League. You know, that's the type of stage that going into the season Celtic fans were looking to see. Could he score at this level? He's done it a couple of times already.
Yeah, and like Mark said, you know, play your best players, and Kyogo falls into that, definitely. You know, has he scored as many goals as he would have wanted to at this point? No, but he's always a danger. I think his all-round game as well, and what he brings to the club is, or the team, is fantastic. So, you know, I'll be putting him back in tonight as well. I agree, you know, O's done well. He's a young man trying to find his feet, but, you know, today for me is a big game for Celtic. You know, as I said, you know, if they can get a win, absolutely fantastic, but at the very least, you need a good performance today because of, you know, what happened at the weekend.
Let's quickly hear from Brendan Rodgers talking about the Feyenoord. Obviously they've met them before, the game tonight, and the differences from the previous meeting.
They're a strong side, you know, we've seen their quality. We played really well in the first half, stood up in the second half, but you can see the quality they have, the physicality in the team, and a really high level of technique and good understanding, and Arnie's an excellent coach who's done very well with Feyenoord. So any game in the Champions League is a big challenge, but we relish that. It's our last game here in the competition, and we want to give the supporters something to go home happy about.
Come on then, 01419511025. Celtic fans, how much does tonight matter? What are you hoping to see? Give us your thoughts right now, we'll get you on next.
Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh yeah, nice, the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley is back. Mark Wilson is alongside him, and you can get in touch. 0141 951 1025. We're building up to kickoff at Celtic Park, asking you how seriously you're taking it. Because I know you want to win every game. That's just daft. Of course, I wouldn't patronise you by asking you if you want to win. Of course you do, but I just want, you know, tell me more, elaborate. How seriously you're taking it? How seriously should Brendan Rodgers take it? What should the team look like? What are you trying to gain? We know you can gain money, coefficient points. Is there more to it? 01419511025 or Twitter or X or whatever it's called at Clyde SSB. We're also going to cross live, hopefully, to Seville in the not too distant future, with some very interesting stuff from Philippe Clement, talking Danilo, Todd Cantwell, Cifuentes' failed appeal. It is all there, so make sure you get involved, Rangers fans, when that discussion does come around. Let's bring in Raymond, who's on the line. How are you, Raymond?
How you doing? Hello, how you doing, panel? This is my second time coming on.
That's good, because I always think, like, can we not put you off so much in the first one that you at least feel like giving it a go again? So that was the
job done.
What are you thinking tonight?
I'd like to know your panel's opinion, right? I'd like to see Rodgers going back to the same, see the high pressing game that Andrew played. Right? I just feel as if the players look lost with the formation they're playing just now. That's my opinion. That's my first
yeah,
point.
Yeah, it's a good one. I mean, let's do them in order, Raymond.
Sorry.
Mark, it's a funny one because, what are the differences? Atletico Madrid, Celtic clearly played intense and played fast and played high and all that stuff. Do they do it all the time? Are they meant to be doing it all the time? You know, what are we seeing?
It's a difficult one because when you watch some of the Champions League games, they have started like that. But the quality has undone them, unpicked them. Men being sent off has certainly had an impact too against Feyenoord, Maeda, against Atletico. If you watch that first, the opening part of the Atletico, Celtic do go 1-0 down, of course, in 5 minutes. But they were at it in and out of possession. But I get what Raymond's saying. Domestically, sometimes it doesn't look like that. I think particularly in possession, it then looks like there's a lack of energy, a lack of urgency. They take time to build rather than Ange Postecoglou was high energy, high risk football that people were constantly looking forward and constantly looking to play those little passes inside fullbacks and centre halves for the wide guys to get into. And it's a lot slower build. So I think it does look slower, but that's in possession. But I think a lot of the time out of possession, I think he's trying to replicate it, but circumstances is probably taking that away from him in this group stage.
I mean, no Maeda won't help, I suppose, the one man pressing machine, Marvin. But what's the difference? Raymond feels like it's just not as intense as it was. And that's the difficult thing for Celtic. Most clubs, when a manager leaves, they get sacked, things aren't going well, the new guy can come in and try and improve things. This was like a well oiled machine. So you're kind of judged against that, aren't you?
Yeah, that's the difficulty. And, you know, Brendan has his own style. You know, we saw him the first time before Ange, you know, he played in a very similar way to what Celtic are playing like now. But like you said, because Ange was so successful with what he did and, you know, he then leaves to go to Tottenham, the fans want to see that continued. But that's not Brendan's style. You know, it's not the way that he goes about his business. Obviously, we saw Ange the inverted fullbacks, etc. And, you know, under Brendan, the first time, I played a lot differently. So, you know, you have to coach these things as well. You can't just say to them, you know, continue what Andrew's doing, because it's Monday to Friday, the important thing. What you see on a Saturday, is the process.
Just leave
of that,
your manual and, just pass that on to the players.
John Kennedy's still there. He did a lot of the training. You know what I think? Does a lot of the training now.
I think we've chatted about that intensity. For instance, when the ball went out of play under Postecoglou, you saw Joe Hart sprinting for the ball. You saw whoever it was, Greg Taylor, whoever was taking the throw-ins. It was a sprint and the ball was back in play so quickly. I would find that difficult as a player. We'll want to get to that level, but once I'm at that level, I would find it difficult to come back down.
But here's the thing, and I keep using, I know that one example. See, when Celtic have been good this season, is it actually that different? Take Atletico at home. Was that really different?
No, in my opinion, it wasn't that much different.
So is it then that they're just failing to reach those levels rather than like deliberately setting out to not do it or to do things differently?
Like I say, in the Champions League, I think they've tried to play that way, out of possession. I think they've tried to press. I think even when you looked at that first game against Feyenoord, how many times did Celtic win the ball high up the pitch? But it was decision-making in the final third that they didn't get themselves in front. The Lazio game, I was there. I was great football at times, and it could have went differently, of course. Atletico was one of the most impressive I've seen for a long time at Celtic Park. But circumstances, again, the away game, the Lazio game was very much different. It was controlled, they had loads of possession, so they didn't really need to press high. So I think they've tried when the opportunity have been there.
What about domestically, though, Mark?
Domestically, no, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Which is a change in style, I believe.
Why would it not be the other way around, if anything, then?
But I think, well, my take on it, I think domestically is, you know, they have so much more of the ball, you know, so Brendan's probably saying to them, yes, when we do lose the ball, you know, you almost want to drag teams out, because when you're playing against your Champions League teams and you're pressing higher, you're pressing, you know, in their defensive third to turn it over to score. But if you say, for example, you're playing against a Livingston, you want them to come out. You want them to have a bit more possession. You want them to come a bit higher, maybe into the middle third. Then you turn it over, because all of a sudden there's gaps.
Sure.
You know, and I think that's probably what he's trying to change. And, you know, obviously some fans will like it, some won't.
What else are you thinking, Raymond?
I think also, I've thought this for a while, and I've seen several games, and it's quite alarming, like they're coming out of the tunnel. I think we lack height, and I think we lack physicality in some areas. I do. I really do. You know, that's just my opinion anyway. I do.
Don't think loads of people would disagree with that.
No, when you look across our team just now, not a lot of height in there. It's been something that's been labelled at Celtic quite a lot. You know, since Martin O'Neill days, incredibly physical and incredibly successful at that time, but they had players that could win any game in that squad. People always point to that when things go badly at Celtic. Weren't they really that physical last year under Ange? But if you get a certain style of play that's high tempo, and everyone knows where they're going in terms of parts of play, then physicality doesn't really much matter until set pieces come into it.
Even then, though, it doesn't. You saw Man City team. I remember Man City played against Burnley. I think Man City had one player over 6 foot.
Yeah, is that though, and you could go back to Barcelona or whatever, is that like elite examples? So if you're Celtic then, in amongst all this budget stuff that everyone bangs, and you know, the chances of you really outplaying everybody all the time, could you not do with a bit more power? Is that not something that looks like it's missing from Celtic at this stage?
I think with the way they play, though, Gordon, is, you know, the physicality thing, I think it only comes up when you're not winning games of football. Like Mark said, you know, the way that they actually play, and, you know, you saw them under Ange, they weren't the most physical team, but they moved the ball at a tempo.
Yeah, like they couldn't compete in the Champions League under Ange.
Sometimes actually just playing against better players, they're not necessarily more physical, they're just better than you.
But how do you bridge that then?
Well, you know, people have said about changing the style, haven't they? You spoke about it earlier, getting a little bit of luck and just winning the game. It's tough when you try and play in a certain fashion and two teams are trying to play the same way and one's got better players than the other. You know, 9 times out of 10, you know, the better team's going to win.
There's no doubt in my mind at this level, I've said it numerous times last season and this season, that I believe Celtic have to be more pragmatic and a tighter unit to play against, and don't try and go toe-to-toe with the big guys. And I understand it's eye-catching. It was last year. We sat in the studio and watched so much against Real Madrid and it was brilliant and so many chances created, but so many chances conceded. And that was the difference from my side that I played.
See, to be fair though, right, is there not a few different ways? So like, I'm not talking about filling 6 foot 4 and shelling balls about all over the place, but just taking that sort of defensive midfield role, could they not do with someone who just really gets about, really snaps into tackles, really
100%.
Imposes himself on the game.
Bought for that though? Was it Sorrow his name was?
This is what I was going to say. They've tried. Remember Oliver Abelgaard?
Yeah.
They tried a number of times, but that doesn't mean because your recruitment's failed in the past that you would give it up. Is that not an area that could be doing with
without a bit? Doubt? And someone who maybe doesn't snap about, but just someone who knows the position. I'm not saying Callum McGregor does it, but what I think Celtic need is someone to sit in there with Callum McGregor in these big nights. And they're often just leave them exposed. And like we've seen so many times that you just get picked off at this level, especially in that midfield area. And as much as it looks great in the eye going forward, it's the back door that matters. And if you looked through our Champions League campaigns years ago, and it isn't really a different world, because the level between us and guys like Ronaldo and Kaká was still the same as the level between this Celtic team and whoever they've come up against. But we were a tighter unit with guys in the midfield who would sit and just do the simple things and create a barrier before it got to us as a back four. And for years now, Celtic haven't had that.
Because I think, you know, physicality can mean a number of things. Mm-hmm. And no, Raymond said height, but you know, talk maybe that kind of genuine pace and power as well.
Yeah. But what you tend to lose with that is players that are technically good then. You know, if you're talking about putting a player in there, like we're saying, that someone's going to break the play up, etc. But then when Celtic get the ball, you're not going to have the same quality as a Callum McGregor on it to then play through the lines. And, you know, do you go too far away from, you know, what you want to do on a weekly basis domestically? Because if you bring in a player and say you're going to play six times in the Champions League this season, you know, what about domestically? Because against Livingston, you're not going to employ that sort of player.
Raymond, how seriously are you taking tonight, if that's an appropriate way of phrasing the question? What do you want to gain?
I think it's a meaningless game. I know I'm talking about result wise, money wise, yeah, it's money in the bank if we win or whatever, right? But I'd like to try some new players. I would, and see if they're good at that level. But see, so far, I don't see the Champions League. There's a severe lack of quality. That's my personal opinion. I do. We lack quality, and domestically, I don't think I can't see. I played junior football, right, and I can't see Brendan Rodgers coming out with a B plan. I.e., for example, right, say if they're playing two men up front, right, you push a fullback into the midfield and play three against two. He doesn't do that. So it just astounds me.
Yeah.
You know, it does. Just I don't know. It's just my opinion.
And that's what we're here for. I'm starting to wonder if Raymond ever... Yeah. You ever play against someone called Matt from Pollock? Because I feel like we're getting all the top former junior players on here telling us about their CV. No?
No.
Because if you were a centre-half that played against him, or even worse, a goalie, you should have been sacked, because that guy was a goal machine. Thank you to Raymond and Alexandria.
60 in a season
60
or something.
60 in four games or something. Oh, it was sensational. Get him back on.
Prolific, mate. You're looking for a goal scorer.
And you know what? He's never played a PlayStation. He's like,
I'm going to bring him in.
So you'll take him. 01419511025. He even said his celebration was the wee shimmy that he used to do up the Savoy. That'll mean nothing to you, Marvin Bartley, but there we go. Anyway, we will get Celtic team news and cross live to Seville. What more could you want? We've got both sides of Glasgow covered after I tell you about this.
Cash for Kids Mission Christmas with J&D Pierce, Scotland's premier structural steel specialist, proud to support the local community.
What a prize we have for you to win, and you'd be making a difference to local children that need your help all at the same time. It is quite the position to be in. Thanks to Arnold Clark, we've got a BMW 1 Series brand new that could be yours. If you ask nicely, they might even put a big Queen of the South badge on the side, just like Marvin Bartley's got, just so that you two could be the same. Presumably you won't want that. What you will get is the heated sports seats, the digital cockpit with Apple CarPlay, M Sport bodywork. It is a really, really nice car. And like I said, it pretty much costs you a £5 donation to Cash for Kids. So you text the word CAR to 84901, C-A-R to 84901. The text costs like your standard network rate message, then a voluntary £5 donation, every penny of that straight to children right here, right on our doorstep, that need your help this Christmas. And then you might win the brand new car. It just feels like an all-round very wise idea for you to get involved, if I do say so myself. So the entries close at 6 p.m. on Saturday the 16th of December. It's over 18s only. Full T's and C's are at Clyde1.com. We've got lots for you on the football front after the travel, so in the meantime, why not use the time wisely and text CAR to 84901.
141-951-1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
I've done this show for a long, long time. Thousands and thousands and thousands of shows, and I think I've finally received the worst, most disturbing picture message of all time during the show. We make a big deal, and it's partly our fault. Like, we made this a thing. You know that Wednesday night is bath night.
Bath night, of course it is.
For Gordon Biel. He sent me a picture of his bubbles.
Oh,
right?
No.
And he says, "Wee bath, listening to two experts of the game." I'm starting to think he doesn't mean that. I feel like that's got a little bit of sarcasm. And
What can you see lurking in the bubbles?
Hold on, I need to zoom in. Zoom again. Zoom again. Zoom again. Keep zooming. Keep
Is there something floating there?
I had to zoom quite a few times, but we got there in the end.
It's disgusting. People will be throwing their dinner up.
That's our gym buddy as well. I thought he'd be sticking up for us. Seems to go to the
That's right. You've been bumping into him in the gym.
Exactly.
I bet he's the He's an ultimate gym pest, isn't he?
He told us that he just goes around speaking to everybody, not on any machine.
Absolute shock. Right, well, very quickly, let's get the team news from Celtic Park. We've had a bit of a debate as to how seriously Brendan Rodgers would take it, who would get a chance and all that sort of stuff. What is up for grabs? Gabriel, who plays?
Thanks, Gordon. Yeah, very interesting. It's Brendan Rodgers taking it very seriously. It seems as full strength as he can go. Only two changes from the game against Kilmarnock at the weekend. But the big talking point will be the return to the starting lineup of Stephen Welsh, playing for the first time since the 13th of August when he came off against Aberdeen at half-time. Welsh coming in at centre-half for Nat Phillips, and Kyogo also returns to the lineup. He replaces O up front. So I'll give you the 11 that Rodgers has chosen to start against Feyenoord this evening. It'll be Joe Hart in goal, defensive Alistair Johnson, Stephen Welsh and Liam Scales. Greg Taylor will play on the left-hand side. And the midfield stays the same. It's Tomoki Iwata, captain Callum McGregor and Matt O'Reilly, whilst Mikey Johnson and Louis Palmer stay on the wings. Kyogo plays through the middle. Substitutes: Bain, Morrison, Lagbielka, Phillips, Turnbull, Holm, O, Bernardo, Forrest, Ralston and Frame.
Okay, overall, Mark, that's a strong team, if you like. There's no mad experimentation there. Brendan Rodgers is out to win this game.
Of course, pretty close to what I thought. You can probably tell the one I didn't have in there. I thought he might have went for James Forrest tonight over Mikey Johnston, but okay, I'm not too surprised. But the rest I thought would be in there. I thought he would keep Iwata. I thought he was the one he was maybe meaning that he wanted to see how he does at this level. But the rest I thought would be starting tonight. But obviously,
I mean no harm. I mean absolutely no harm to Stephen Welsh. But the question is, how strong a message is that to Lagerbielka?
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, we didn't even consider that when we spoke about the possibilities.
Yeah, but again, it's one of those things that reputations don't mean anything in terms of, you know, whether you've been bought for X amount of money. If you're not performing in training or for whatever reason, he sees Welsh as being ahead of him at this moment in time. Sure. So,
no, that's the thing. I'm not disagreeing with it then. What I mean is the message is loud. Yeah. And if Brendan Rodgers is calling it right and his judgment is right, Lagerbielka must be miles off it. And again, that sounds like I'm being critical of Stephen Welsh. It's not what I mean. The circumstances.
Yeah, he's behind him in the pecking order, you know, and he probably, as a player, he wouldn't have expected that. But maybe this is kind of, you know, the kick that he needs to say, listen, you need to wake up, because at this moment in time, you're fourth or fifth choice, you know, centre-half pick for me at this football club. And, you know, you should be a lot higher at the pecking order. You'd been expected to be when he was signed. But, you know, fair play to Welsh. Like you said there, he's not played for a long time, and hopefully he can come in and do well tonight.
What do you read into that, Mark?
Well, exactly what you said, that Brendan Rodgers has no faith in Lagerbielka. Obviously, Navrokin on the squad. Carter Vickers, he doesn't want to risk. And Nat Phillips, well, what's the point in playing Nat Phillips? Because he's one not been good enough and he will go back to his parent club. But I don't think I could have envisaged Stephen Welsh just coming in out of the cold. Now, Brendan Rodgers likes him. He played him at the start of the season. He rewarded him, I'm sure, with a new contract. So he's going to be about for a bit. I just didn't think he would come from nowhere to starting in a Champions League game, wasn't involved in the bench on Sunday. It's a big risk in terms of he's not had many minutes, but it tells you that he's not happy with what he's purchased in the summer.
It's probably the easiest position though, isn't it? If to come in out of the cold somewhere other than being in goal, centre-half's probably, you know,
is it? What, see, yeah, I'll take your word for it, because I would have no idea what you mean by that.
I think so. When you're not, you know, when you haven't played for a while and the man just says, right, you need to go in. If you're a centre-half, I think it's the easiest position to kind of feel your way through 90 minutes. Listen, this is Champions League, I know that. But, you know, I think there's a lot more difficult positions to be out there. Say, centre midfield, for example, you know, in the engine room, and you've not played for, you know, X amount of weeks or months, whatever it might be. So, you know, hopefully he can get himself through this game and, you know, hit the heights that, as Mark said, you know, made him be rewarded with a new contract.
What odds would you have got at the start of the draw of Stephen Welsh and Liam Scales being Celtic centre-half pairing for the final game?
And Mikey Johnson playing
and
as well.
And Mikey Johnson.
Right, I'm going to try and squeeze in a lot here. Right, quick. Andy's a Celtic fan. quickly, Andy, reaction to that team?
I think the team's fine, but Welsh being in just blows my mind, and it just shows how bad the recruitment's been over the summer. But Vlada Bielka, who we spent nearly $4 million on, Celtic play a high line, he might play a good defender for like a low block team, but Celtic centre-backs need to be able to run, and Vlada Bielka might be able to play football, but he suffers for the disadvantage of not being able to run. And it's just incredible that we've spent so much money on somebody so unsuited to the team.
Yeah,
it just shows all the crimes of the summer coming back.
Yeah, and it's a fair point, Andy. I'll have to leave it there. Sorry it was short, because it's a really good point and maybe one we can revisit. You could also say that as well, you know, what went wrong with Yang signing, that Mikey Johnson's ahead of him, and what's gone wrong with Lager Bielka's. And so I think a lot of questions, but you never know. These guys might star brilliantly tonight and Celtic might win, so we'll revisit. Let's cross live to Seville right now.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards European coverage with Trustdeed Scotland. For life after debt, visit trustdeedscotland.net.
A few cancelled flights later, but he is there. Andrew McLean, run us through the main talking points from Philippe Clement's press conference.
Yeah, as you say, here at the Benito Villamarin Stadium, a nice ground as well, 60,000-seater. I'm sure it'll be lively tomorrow night as well. Back to the city that, of course, was heartbreak for Rangers and their supporters around a year and a half ago, so they'll be hoping for some better memories tomorrow night. You know, I think the fans are also quite happy to be away from Scotland as well, around 15 degrees here, which feels pretty tropical compared to back home. Not for the locals though, because I was walking about in shorts earlier on, was getting some funny looks because
you've got bad legs.
Big jackets on. Oh, well, there's probably that as well, yeah. But they all had big jackets on because 15 degrees, clearly not as as warm to them as it is to us. But football, of course, the main attraction here, and for Philippe Clement, more injury issues as well. Plenty of reports about Danilo and his latest injury. Well, Philippe Clement was telling us in his pre-match media duties just there that the striker is going to be out for several months.
I never give a timescale why. I've been a player myself, and I had the luck that I was somebody who healed really fast. I worked really hard to come back also after injuries, but there were moments that doctor said you will be back in 8 weeks, and I was back in 4 weeks. So I don't think it's good to put a time scale on it, but we need to be really clear and honest, and I always try to be that as much as possible. To give all the information, it will be several months, that's for sure. So he will not be back in January or something. But I don't want to pinpoint on a number of months.
Rangers fans, give us a call right now. How big a blow is that? What do you need to do in January? Did you need to do something anyway? What on earth is happening with those injuries? Several months. And there's more personnel issues ahead of tomorrow as well, Andrew?
Yeah, well, Philippe Clement had said that he'd hoped Ryan Jack might be available for this one, but he hasn't made it, still not back fit. You wonder whether he's maybe being kept for Sunday if he did have a chance for tomorrow night and he's not made it, maybe with Sunday in mind. And Joseph Fuentes, of course, out of Sunday's game, then you know it may well be a chance for Ryan Jack to get back into the team. But another interesting omission as well from the travelling squad is Todd Cantwell. There were some rumours earlier on that he hadn't travelled with the squad, Clement confirming that is the case due to personal reasons. However, he could still be available for the cup final on Sunday.
No, Todd is not here because of personal circumstances, and he wants to keep it personal also, so we respect that. And the positive thing to say about that, it's nothing something between club and him or me and him, or it's just family wise. So it's important, if players want to keep things private, we're gonna keep it private also. They are public figures, that's true, but they are also they have their personal things in life also that we need to respect, and everybody needs to respect, I think.
Yeah, that seems fair enough, I think. Of course, I mean, José Cifuentes is available, Andrew, but he's not for the weekend after that failed appeal, so you wonder what that means for tomorrow. Did Philippe Clement have anything to say on that?
Yeah, well, just on his involvement tomorrow, Clement said it's not really a secret that Cifuentes is expected to play a big part tomorrow because there is not a lot of availability in that midfield area. You expect that it will be John Lundstrom and Jose Cifuentes in there, but of course to that red card and the subsequent appeal, that was of course a big talking point last week and then into this week, unsuccessful that appeal. Philip Clement clearly irked by that decision though. He was asked about it a few moments ago and he says he feels that even the Dundee players may be surprised that the appeal wasn't successful.
Clearly, I think it surprised everybody, maybe even the players of Dundee, because look back at the image, and it's sometimes frustrating as a manager. If the referee gives a yellow card, and after it becomes a red card, the next day you watch much of the day, much more bad tackles there and yellow cards. So that was strange. And then you see back the footage after the game, where Jose has the contact, but because the player slides underneath him when he goes for the ball. And look back at the image, there are 5-6 players of Dundee around. There's nobody, but nobody who reacts to the referee. Nothing. To lose him 2 more games, that's a little bit too much for me. But okay, there are other people who decide and I don't have any power in that. So again, I will focus on the guys who are available, but I'm going to be really cautious also to see the next couple of months if these contacts happen, if it's every time a red card.
Even the Dundee players will be surprised that he lost his appeal.
I doubt that. I doubt they'll be sitting having their dinner thinking, wow, I'm surprised. I mean, it's a red card. There's no doubt about it. I don't think the Dundee player who was fouled will believe it's a surprise. So, yeah, it's the right decision.
I'm not a good one to comment on red cards, Gordon, with my previous tackle. Sorry.
Okay, but yes, but in the current circumstances and laws and all that sort of stuff, is it one that surprised you? This is about surprise. This is not about what you want to do to other people.
I did think at the time, obviously seeing it, I thought, oh, that's a bit harsh. And, you know, but like Mark says, you know, in the modern game, it is a red card. You're going to get sent off for that all day long. I agree with what he's saying. You know, Dundee players didn't really, you know, really make a song and dance about it. But, you know, the referee's there to referee the game. Obviously, he's looked at it again and given a red card for it.
And we're running late, but very quickly, to whoever wants to take it up, Danilo, several months. I mean, Todd Cantwell, personal reasons, fine. We hope everything's okay. Probably just one game. Several months, what is going on?
Well, big blow, because Rangers are struggling with who plays through the middle. Desers, slow to start and been poor. But Danilo, when he's come in, looks like there's something there. And now they're going to have to deal with missing him for so long. So, real sore one.
Some injury list, Marvin.
Yeah, it seems to be getting worse and worse, doesn't it? I think that's a massive blow for them. I think, you know, they'll be forced into the market in January, whether that's a loan or a permanent. As Mark said, you know, I think he was starting to claim that number 9 shirt as his own. So he's going to be a big miss for them, definitely.
Busy, busy show. Rangers fans, how big a blow is Danilo? What are you going to do about it? Is it the transfer window? Is it someone else already in the building? Jose Cifuentes there, no Todd Cantwell tomorrow. How do you feel about it? And Celtic fans, your reaction to that team, which is pretty strong. Kyogo's back in and Stephen Welsh partners Liam Scales at the heart of the defence. Get all your thoughts over to us whilst we play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Beat the Pundit time. You can take on Marvin or Mark by calling 01419511025 and the lines close at 7.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Mark Wilson are here. 01419511025. What a huge busy night this is. I've not told these two, but I think we could extend the show this evening because we have a big game at Celtic Park against Feyenoord with very interesting team news. Stephen Welsh in at the heart of the defence, Kyogo back in. Celtic fans, what do you make of that? How seriously are you taking tonight? Looks like Brendan Rodgers is by his team, and we've just spoken to our reporter Andrew McLean in Seville, who's told you Rangers fans, I'm sorry, bad news, several months out for Danilo, no Todd Cantwell or Ryan Jack tomorrow either. Get your calls in, we'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, it is Beat the Pundit time. Marvin Bartley tends to get quite nervous and animated at Beat the Pundit, and you've not played in weeks.
Yeah,
I know. How are you feeling?
Not great.
You're like the Stephen Welsh.
Yeah, maybe shot back in. Just Don't even toss it. Put him back in.
No chance.
He's on a winning streak. A one.
Yeah. One.
You won on Monday.
Mm.
I mean,
very good.
You lot are just
convincing.
Just wreaking havoc with my schedule this week. You've come back out of wherever you've been. You're back involved. You're back to two nights a week, but not the two nights you used to do.
I know. I'm all about first aid, Gordon. I've got first aid Tuesday, Thursday.
No.
So I've got another sitting of it tomorrow night. So when yous are here with Daz and whoever else is here, I'll be resuscitating dummies on the floor.
If that's no way to talk about the Partick Thistle reserves after yesterday's 10-0 defeat against Hamilton. So if Marvin chokes on,
if you're in the recovery position today,
if Marvin chokes on the 9 litres of water that's been,
don't worry, nobody move, I'll fix him.
Hold that thing up to the camera.
I don't know if they teach drowning in first aid. Look at
good
that.
Good for you.
Ridiculous. Anyway, right, get your calls in whilst we play. Craig is in Milton. How's it going, Craig?
Yeah, I'm very well, thanks.
Good man. You ever played before?
No, never played before.
Good, first good night. Good, I like that. Gordon Dale lost last night, your partner in crime.
Aye.
Oh, he was,
that's
hopeless.
No surprise.
Oh, he was rotten.
Good.
Heads it will be Mark Wilson, tails it will be Marvin Bartley. Look how nervous he is.
The fact you, yes, Mark.
Oh, his head's devastating.
Come on, Craig.
All right. This will be a breeze.
Let's give Mark some greatest hits radio. We'll get the clock ready, Craig. 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can. Pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
Okay.
Your 30 seconds starts now. How many spells has Robbie Nielsen had as Hearts manager?
Two.
Who played in last season's Scottish League Cup final?
Celtic. Hearts.
Aberdeen's Reece Williams is on loan from which club?
Liverpool.
Which player who's still currently playing has the most caps for Scotland men's team?
Craig Gordon.
Who was the last player to join Rangers from Aberdeen?
Ryan Jack.
What colour are Stenhouse Muir's traditional home tops?
Burgundy.
Celtic's Idiguchi is currently on loan in which country?
Japan.
Mark Wilson, let's bring him back. Can you hear us?
Yeah. How was he?
Excellent.
Excellent, was he?
That's how I'm describing it.
Okay, he does seem a fairly serious guy, Craig.
I'm double bluffing.
How'd you do, Craig?
I felt I did okay.
That's maybe it, Craig. Right. Keep your cards close to your chest, Craig.
That's it.
What was the easiest one?
30 seconds, trouble. Mark Wilson.
Right,
your
okay.
time starts now. How many spells has Robbie Nielsen had as Hearts manager?
Two.
Who played in last season's Scottish League Cup final?
Celtic Rangers.
Aberdeen's Reece Williams is on loan from which club?
Liverpool.
Which player who's still playing has the most caps for Scotland men's team?
Andy Robertson.
Who was the last player to join Rangers from Aberdeen?
Greg Stewart.
What colour are Stenhouse Muir's traditional home tops?
Burgundy.
Celtic's Idiguchi is on loan in which country?
Japan.
And where did Paul Lambert start his career?
Motherwell.
Oh, oh. No, it's no!
Oh.
No! Why did I say that? Could that be the one that does you? What do you think, Craig?
I don't know. I think you might just have beat me by one there.
Oh, Robbie Nielsen's had two stints. You both got it. Last season's League Cup final was Celtic Rangers, Craig. Mark Wilson goes one in front. Reece Williams is on loan from Aberdeen. You both got it. Mark Wilson stays one
Liverpool,
in front.
Liverpool, was it?
Yes.
Oh, what a guess that was.
Said from Aberdeen.
Sorry?
Yeah, from he's on loan from Aberdeen.
No, sorry, no. Aberdeen's Reece Williams is on loan from
Yeah.
So Mark stays one in front. Which player who's still playing has the most caps for Scotland men's team? Craig Gordon. And Craig, his namesake, got it. Oh. Are you looking so confused?
still playing? Sorry, aye, he is still playing.
Of course he is
still playing.
Craig, you don't need to explain this.
Sorry, Craig,
he's
100% if you're
still playing. So we are level.
Ah, how did you get that, Craig?
The last player to join Rangers from Aberdeen was Scott Wright.
That's who I mean.
Got it. Well,
I got mixed up with the wingers.
Craig said Ryan Jack.
I knew it wasn't Jack.
Oh, so we're still level. I was a bit worried about this question, right? Because I knew this would happen. So Stenhouse Muir's home tops. You both said Burgundy, so I'm going to give you that. And you were both right.
Craig said Burgundy as well.
I've got maroon. But I mean, is it the same thing?
It's a deeper shader.
Idiguchi is on loan in Japan. Both got it. 5-5.
Oh no, he's going to get it.
Which means it all comes down to the last question. Where did Paul Lambert start his career? You said Motherwell. It is St Mirren. Mark Wilson.
Did he get that?
No.
Craig didn't
get that.
Craig,
a lifeline.
One thing that was never levelled at Mark Wilson is that it was his pace, that got him out of any sticky situations.
Ask Ronaldo.
I will. Next time I see him.
That's one of them.
But you did the hard work. You got there. You got an easy question that Craig didn't get, and you blew it. So it means we go to the tie breaker.
Good luck, Craig.
Right. What's going to happen here is I'll read the question. I'll get Mark to write his answer down, and I'll then invite Craig to give me his attempt. All right, Craig?
Cool.
Let's go. I'm worried about this question. I'll explain why in a minute. To the nearest year, what is the average age of all players in the Scottish Premiership? I want to know how we found this out, but anyway. To the nearest year, what is the average age of all players in the Scottish Premiership?
What have you put?
I don't know. To the nearest year?
Yeah, that's all right.
Craig, give me your attempt.
Closer than Mark.
Go.
Oh, where am I? I've done wrong.
Yeah, I'll say 29.
Craig, it literally does not matter what age you said because you've won. The key in any quiz is to listen to the question. Let me hold this up because Mark Wilson.
I can misunderstand.
Mark Wilson, zoom in on my camera if we can, has written 2000.
It's an easy.
Which is remarkable.
Easy mistake. I thought you meant which year they were born. The year 2000, which would make them 24.
The question, to which year, no? What is the average age? The average age, and you have written, there it is right there, 2000.
But surely you're going to.
How would that have made them 24 anyway?
Or 23. 2023,
right?
I'm dealing with academy players too much. Yeah. You're just dealing with her.
Gordon DL, your partner in crime, has got like the top 10 worst answers sewn up until tonight. I think
hot.
That's the worst I've ever heard.
What was the age?
27, for what it's worth.
Ah, oh, so it would be, anyway. You'd be what, 90?
No, for 98.
I'm dealing in any age bands.
At no point did I ask what year they were born in. It is completely irrelevant.
Enjoy the ball, Craig.
Craig, easy. Yeah. Well done.
Craig, well done, mate. That's fully deserved.
Craig, listen, he's handed you that on a plate. I mean, you did that hard work. You got five right, but my word. 2000.
It's a good game.
He was happy with himself when he wrote that as well.
I was buzzing back. I thought that's got to be
close. Yeah, I've won this.
23.
26.6, apparently, according to Transfer Market. So there we go.
Only 3 years.
Craig, what do you make of, let's bring it back to normality, what do you make of Stephen Welsh playing tonight? I don't know what age he is, but what do you make of him starting?
No, I'm delighted, to be fair. It's about time we start to bring our own academy players through, so it's better than developing other clubs' players, so definitely, I'm all for it.
That certainly makes sense on the Nat Phillips one. If you're not, you know, especially if he's not contributing, because you've always got those question marks, Mark, don't you, over loan players about, you know, the benefit of them. But if they're good and they're helping your team, then great. So Nat Phillips hasn't convinced, and he's going in a couple of weeks, so surely it becomes verging on senseless at this point to play him when you've got other options.
Yeah, and I even think that domestically as well, what was the need to persist in playing him? He was brought in at a time that Celtic were really struggling in that department, and that's fine because it was a sort of emergency loan. But when he played, he just didn't impress. So you would have thought Brendan Rodgers would have looked at what he's got for the future. Tonight, he's obviously looked at that. He's obviously looked at Phillips' performance, by the way, at the weekend as well, and thought that's just not going to do for us tonight and out of possession. Because had Nat Phillips had an absolute stormer at the weekend, would we have seen Welsh, even though the circumstances around it? Not sure we would have.
No.
But that paired with his performance level allows Welsh to get in.
What does this all say, as good as it is for Stephen Welsh and academy products, what does it say for Gustav Lagerbielka, Craig?
Oh, definitely. Hopefully get him up to match speed and hopefully gets a run of games, because that's pretty much what he's needing at this moment in time. The same for Naroki as well.
He's not registered for the European squad. So tonight's about Lagerbielka, Mark. Here's a... I don't know if I'm being too extreme. Does he come back from this? Just out of curiosity, right now.
Well, he's got a lot of work to do to get back for this, but if you're sitting there as him thinking, you know, this was my real opportunity and it's went sour again, then it's hard to see how he gets back. And Brendan Rodgers obviously had enough of a look at him to think he's not for me, because he would have been playing.
Cameron Carter-Vickers and Liam Scales and Nat Phillips and Stephen Welsh. One's a loanee. Mm-hmm. One's not played in months. One was about to get shipped off to Aberdeen. All above him in the pecking order. He's on a long-term contract, paid good money for him. He's a Sweden international. Might it be game up for him?
No, I think he has to deal with this. I think it's too easy in football just to say, oh, do you know what? The man just picked that player over me. I'm just going to try and go elsewhere.
I don't necessarily mean him sacking it off, though, but has Brendan Rodgers made his mind up?
Yeah, potentially, but you know, it happens with managers. And if he goes and he trains well and when he's given an opportunity, he plays well, quickly, like that, managers change their mind, Gordon. Because if you're in form and if you're doing what they want you to do, you know, you're going to play games of football. He's got a big move, like you said, to a massive football club. You can't just give that up. You know, you have to deal with the here and now. He has to have some self-reflection as to why he is where he is in this situation and make it better, because there's no doubt about it. He wants to play for Celtic. He wants to play at Celtic Park in these massive games. You know, he wants to win league titles and, you know, other things domestically with them. So he needs to kind of, you know, get himself into gear now, realise where he's at, not feel sorry for himself and try and kick on. But it is a massive, massive wake-up call, you know, to see that, you know, you're last in the pecking order at this moment in time.
I think you'll find him on the list for loan in January. I think the player himself will look at that as well and think, I'm a Swedish internationalist. If I want to keep my place in that side going forward, I need to be playing games. And I think if he had that request, him or his agent to Celtic, I think Brendan Rodgers would sanction that pretty easily.
Thank you, Craig. A signed ball is on its way. Two wins in a row for the listeners, thanks to Gordon DL and Mark Wilson. You can always trust them to
come
up.
Got to say, Stephen Welsh is a 2000, is it? By the way, he was born in 2000, so it fits nicely into where I was going. Yeah. 2000, there.
Wow.
Okay, to the other side of the city. Stuart is a Rangers fan. There's a lot going on, Stuart. There's a big European game. There is injuries and absentees and small matter of a cup final at the weekend. What's at the front of your mind?
Hi Gordon, hi Mark and Marvin. Can I just say to Mark, 10 minutes ago Mark was sitting and said, that was definitely a red card with Cifuentes. Can I just say, yes, it was late. It was late in the tackle. His studs came over his leg, but it wasn't like a clear stamp. There was no venom in it. And I'm behind my manager. It wasn't a clear red card. It's just indicative of today's society where everything's soft now. It was never a clear red card, in my opinion, anyway. Mm. And I'm quite gutty Cifuentes is out, to be honest with you.
Listen, whether it's probably more indicative of the rules of modern football rather than a soft society, although we can go down that route if you want. I'm not sure this is the platform for it, but it just doesn't... I kind of get what Stuart's saying as well, and I think Marv, you can tell that glint in Marvin's eye... He sees no problem with tackling like that. It just feels like now, and I get like Stuart's got his team thoughts and all that. It just doesn't strike you as one that you think, oh, that's a howler now. Just based on what we see all the time. Nothing against Cifuentes or anyone else.
It could have been anybody else in any other team. I would be saying the same. Just because, you know, where Cifuentes' leg and studs fell on the Dundee player. We had someone coming on Monday night actually blaming the Dundee defender for sliding into Cifuentes. So, you know, people see through things through their lens of their team sometimes. Sometimes it's just got to be objective. If that's anywhere else, be saying the exact same thing. And so did the VAR, so did the referee, so did the independent panel that looked at it today. So I get Clement is upset by it because he's got very few options, but today's game, unfortunately, it's a red card.
Right, anyway, Stuart, let's not argue about it too much because there's a lot to look forward to as well. What else you got for us tonight?
Well, for my team selection on Sunday, obviously we're down to the bare bones, but I'm really wanting Dejohn Stirling to feature this weekend. I would put him in place, so I would put him in next to Lundstrom in the engine room. And I would put Simo on the left, Matondo on the right, Lammers, which he's not my favourite player, but he's going to have to play on Sunday behind Dessers. Also, he's not my favourite player, but that's all we've got, really, you know, and just go for it. And we need to win this cup on Sunday because with Celtic dropping points against Kelly on Sunday, we really need to win this cup. Just to give the players who have just been there the last few months a winning mentality, a feel for winning things at Ibrox, you know, and to give us a momentum to go into Parkhead on the 30th and hopefully listen, we don't need to beat Celtic on the 30th. We just need to avoid defeat. You know, we're going to have two games in hand come Sunday because obviously Celtic are playing me in the cup final. We need to make sure we win on Sunday just to give us that momentum, get into that near day game on the 30th.
Not putting words in your mouth, just the fact that you've called up about it, though, Stuart, is this all way more important than tomorrow for you then?
Oh, certainly, Gordon, of course. Listen, Rangers don't need to prove themselves in Europe. We've done our stuff in Europe over the last 5 years with Gerrard came in. All right, we had a terrible campaign in the Champions League last season. Right, we all get that. The worst record in Europe, whatever. But over the piece, Rangers have been absolutely amazing in Europe over the last 5 years.
You want to keep that up then, though? You rather than get to the stage?
Of course I do. Of course I do. But listen, at the end of the day, if we don't beat Betis tomorrow, we're going to the Conference League. We got to the final Europa League. Who's not to say we could go to the final and win the Conference League? You know what I mean? It's not without the realms of possibility. At least we're still in Europe at Christmas. You know what I mean? Celtic are they, and they've got 70 million in the bank. So, you know what I mean?
Mm. There are a few permutations. So, Rangers will finish in the top two, obviously, if they beat Betis, or if Sparta Prague fail to beat Aris Limassol. If Rangers go and win, they go group winners. Mm-hmm. It's around the 16 in the Europa League. Obviously, if they finish second, then they go into that knockout round, and they play a Champions League dropout, I think, at that point, mm-hmm. the kind of playoff round thing.
Yeah.
And if not, you enter the Conference League. I get why, because it's this week that the League Cup seems more important. Like, I don't know if you made Stuart or anyone else pick, but Philippe Clement, no one's making you pick between the two. Do you know what I mean? So when you're this close with the extra money, the extra prestige, they're going to want to get in the Europa League, aren't they?
Yeah, they want to finish as high as they possibly can. You know, and in a crazy way, they'd probably rather their game on Thursday was a dead rubber, so they could make wholesale changes looking forward to Sunday. But it's not, Gordon, you know, for the reasons that you've just said. You know, and no doubt about it, Rangers will play their strongest team on Thursday. You know, they'll help the players that come through it, you know, with a win first and foremost, and secondly, without any more injuries to add to that list. But, you know, it's a massive game for them, and I know what Stuart's saying. For him, it's all about the cup final come Sunday, but for the players, the managers and the actual club, you know, all eyes will be geared toward Thursday and on winning that game of football.
All depends what you value most. You know, if you're driven by money and prestige in the next rounds, then of course Thursday takes prime importance. But as many Rangers fans will tell you, silverware is what they hold dear to them, and there's been a lack of that over many years. So I think the majority would take the silverware on Sunday and take the possibility of dropping down to the Conference League.
What about the manager, Mark? What do you think he would want to do?
I think he'd want to progress in Europe.
Yeah.
He's only at the club.
By the way, no one's making you choose. Yeah. It's one of these things. Thank you to Stuart on the line. Good time to call. We'll try and get you on next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Get your thoughts in on Celtic's team tonight, Celtic's chances, what the game means to you, how seriously you're taking it, all the usual stuff that we've been discussing in the lead up to this one against Feyenoord. Rangers fans, how big a blow is Danilo's absence? Several months, says Philippe Clement. Is there anyone in there that can step up and fill the void? Did you need a new striker anyway? And do you certainly need one, if not two now? What does that look like? Does this mean you want Lawrence Shankland or someone else? Get in touch. 01419511025. Let me get the question here, though.
The full-time teaser with Sliding Wardrobe Solutions East Kilbride. Slat wall panels available in 7 colours. Now in stock at East Kilbride at competitive prices.
Right, this is tough. I've even taken the editorial decision to make it a bit easier for you dumplings. So, Stephen McCara, thank you for sending it in. There are 6 Old Firm players who've played in a League Cup final since 2011-2012, and they are the only player from their country to do so. So there are 6 Old Firm players who've played in a League Cup final since 2011-2012, and they're the only player from their country to do so. If you so happen to scoosh it, you can try the non-Old Firm players who've done it in that time. But there we go.
Issa Gueye.
Well done, Mark Wilson. Emilio Izaguirre against Aberdeen in 2017.
Marvin just glanced at me and just gave me a don't even bother asking me.
Not at all, Marvin Bartley.
Nah.
Oh, come on, think.
My brain needs to.
Sakala.
Yes. Oh, Mark Wilson. Look at him scrambling
Mr.
around
2000.
To make up for his disaster. Oh, beat the pundit. That is quite spectacular.
We're going well.
Yeah, brilliant. We're on fire. Yeah,
2 out of 6.
That's fine. We'll leave it there. And don't forget, it's fulltime at Clyde1.com to send your questions in. Thank you very much to Stephen for sending that one, and to Sliding Wardrobe Solutions East Kilbride for helping us out on the teaser. Speaking of Fashion Sakalis, he's a very interesting interview doing the rounds with him today. Have you seen this? It was in the Rangers Review, I think, basically talking about, being kind of frozen out and banned from elements of training and stuff like that under Michael Beale before the exit. I think a lot of Rangers fans are a bit annoyed, if that's the right phrase. They got decent money for him, I suppose, and it's just because you didn't replace him with better, does that mean it was wrong to let him go? There are a few different ways of weighing it up, but it certainly sounds like it ended not in the way he would want it. He said people were asking if I was still there. I think I deserved more respect, all that sort of stuff. So there's quite a few.
Just a glimpse of what happened behind the scenes under Michael Beale's reign, because I think Sakala, a lot of Rangers fans like Sakala. I think they liked the effort he brought. He was a goal scorer. He was a bit, a bit unorthodox at times, and he's finishing on big occasions, maybe let him down. But I think he should have still had a shot at being there. So it's never nice when you hear players' careers end at a club in that way. And he's obviously a bit bitter because he always seemed somebody that was delighted when he was in the squad.
Well, this is what's funny. I feel like that's the reaction I've seen from a lot of Rangers fans where they just feel like they thought Fashion Sakala was a good guy. They think he's a good guy. They wanted the best for him, and they don't like what he went through at the end is the kind of gist of social media, I would say, today.
Yeah, the difficulty kind of from a manager's point of view, I imagine if you've got a player there, regardless of how the fans kind of view him and you think you can get someone better, as Michael Beale obviously thought he could, and a lot of managers go and only like training with a certain amount of players. So if you've already hit that and you look at Sakala and someone's offering that money, you think, right, I can reinvest that somewhere else. Although it's not nice, I think there's a lot of professional players that have been through that during their careers. But like you said, and Mark said there, he always gave 100%. He's always kind of like a happy chappy, regardless of what. And, I think they miss him, if I'm totally honest.
I don't know. I mean, maybe the clubs try and force players, to if there's money on offer, try and kind of force them out, that sort of thing, whether it's all from Michael Beale or whatever. But like I say, the quotes in the Rangers Review saying the only time I got a call was when he told me not to come to the training ground anymore. That was hard for me to take. I didn't do anything.
I don't like that. I don't like that at any level. If you sign a player and a player's under contract, and as long as they're not disruptive in and around the building, then there is no way you can call them and say stay away from the training ground just because it doesn't suit you.
I thought it was from a point of view rather than, if you're doing 11v11, obviously, and you've got a certain amount of players and then some had to be to the side. But yeah, like Mark's saying there, when it comes to being told not to come in, that isn't right.
And like we said, it doesn't mean it was wrong purely because you didn't sign better to replace him, but that is clearly an issue for a lot of the Rangers fans at the moment, feel like the attack isn't as strong as they would like it to be after a summer rebuild.
If you sign better instantly in the first 6 months, people who go out the door are often forgotten about pretty quickly, unless they're big club legends. But Sakala fell into the category of someone who would be useful to have around, and I still think he would be. You look at the problems that Rangers have had at the top end of the pitch. Seymour's picked up the baton pretty well, but he could do with some help chipping in with some goals. And now that Danilo's away and Dessers, gets the occasional goal, Rangers fans would probably have Sakala still at the club if they had the choice.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. The only thing I would say is that Bill didn't want to play with wingers, did he? Remember when he came in the start? Yeah. So that's probably, now they're back to playing with wingers, you're probably looking at him being like, Sakala would be a shoe in there. But, obviously Bill didn't want to play that way, did he?
Interesting. Any thoughts on that, Rangers fans, as well? You can air them here, 01419511025. We are building up to kick off as well at Celtic Park. We gave you team news. Let's go back there. I think Gabriel, I believe, is still with us. Gabriel, the reason that this can truly be described as a dead rubber in, you know, in a kind of purely footballing sense, is because of what it doesn't mean to Feyenoord as well. What are Celtic up against tonight? We obviously got a look at them in the game over in Rotterdam, which actually seems like ages ago now.
Yeah, Gordon, well, they're up against a team, of course, that beat them at the start of the campaign. It's a team that have lost four of their last eight. They're not exactly in scintillating form. They scored two in stoppage time at the weekend to win, which keeps them second in the Eredivisie, but they're a massive 10 points off PSV at the top of the league. And they've already got the 6 points that they need in the Champions League to progress, not in this competition, but to progress in the Europa League. So Celtic can't catch them no matter what happens tonight. Arne Slot, the manager, he was linked to Tottenham in the summer. He turned it down, ended up going to Ange Postecoglou, one of those sliding doors Scottish football moments. He has made four changes to the team that won 2-0 when the sides met back at the end of September. And one of those is Santiago Jimenez, the striker. Now keep an eye out for him. He is a top player. He scored 30 goals in the Dutch league this calendar year, the most in a calendar year since Luis Suarez hit the same number for Ajax in 2009. So he is the danger man for the Dutch side this evening, Gordon. Only two previous meetings between these two. Of course, the one earlier in the year and also the 1970 European Cup final, which, as we know, Celtic lost as well. So it should be really interesting. But nonetheless, it is a dead rubber.
Yeah, that was a quiet night back in 1970 as well. So we'll see what happens here. Brian is a Celtic fan. What do you make of the team tonight, Brian?
Well, pretty much as expected, apart from Stephen Welsh. That's a bit of a surprise. I didn't say anything about him being back in the squad. But I'm assuming that if he got a contract, a new contract off of Brendan Rodgers at the start of the season, mm-hmm. when he was playing in the team with Scales. So I'm assuming that he thinks that they two have got a decent understanding of each other.
The guys in here were saying they still think there is a way back for Lager Bielka, even though it might look like a long road. What do you think?
Well, in Leicester's comments that I haven't seen, the one that I saw off the Rodgers was about Lager Bielka and Navroki saying that they needed to show more personality. So I would take that as he's quite one for talking about what it takes to wear the shirt and things like that and what this club demands. So I wouldn't be surprised if it's two young guys came from a different country and know had the best of starts at a new club and are struggling a wee bit confidence-wise. I don't think it's necessarily ability. It could just be they've no found their feet straight away. It does. We need to remember it's no mm-hmm. just a matter of flicking a switch and you, a 22, 23 year old boy move to a new country. You don't necessarily speak the language best and fitting in straight away. It's no easy to do.
Yeah, then that's the thing, Mark. So I don't think the fact that they're not mainstays in the team or first picks in Champions League games, I don't think that's the shock here. That's the bit that's understandable. That's the bit that Brian could back up, I think, with that sort of logic. It's how far out the picture they seem to be.
Yeah.
I don't know, somebody who's just needs a bit more confidence or has just not quite found his feet. That to me doesn't seem appropriate to somebody who's behind. Navrotsky's then even further behind, and I know he's not in the European squad, but based on what we've seen it in some of the weekend squads.
Well, it was Navrotsky in the squad on the bench at the weekend. Lager Bielka wasn't.
Oh, was it round that way at the weekend? Sorry.
You know, so I'm looking at that, and that paints a picture as well. Now, like modern day football, I get, we used to always talk about this, how long it took people to settle and give them time, and perhaps next year they'll be good. Look, football's moved so quickly, even from the time I retired, that you just don't get the time now to settle. And you're quickly judged because there's so much expense goes into these players to bring them to the club, to pay their wages. And if you're not doing it, then they'll be quickly shipped out to recoup some of that. Lager Bielka is coming up for 6 months at the club now and very limited game time. But the biggest point is that you've got five or so centre-backs alone and a guy who's been injured and out of the squad getting in ahead of you, it doesn't paint a good picture for the future for Lagerbielke. And that's why I said earlier, I wouldn't be surprised to see him go out on loan. Now, I'm not saying that that would be his contract terminated and they would sell him, but he needs to go out and play. Rodgers needs to trim the squad. Why would you keep him about?
4 months ago today was Stephen Welsh's last appearance, that game at Aberdeen. Remember it? Way back, second weekend of the season, when he came on at half time, wasn't it, for Carter Vickers? So 4 months today. Brian, how much does tonight matter to you?
It matters mostly in the sense that just getting back to winning a game at the top level. I don't think in the grand scheme of things, a couple of £1 million makes much of a difference. I don't think two coefficient points make much of a difference. It's just getting back to winning ways and at that level. It's a new competition next season, so you don't want to go into it carrying burdens of 5, 10 years, whatever.
Yeah, fair point. Thank you, Brian. That was good stuff. Appreciate it, Brian and Pollock. You two, very quickly, six Old Firm players who've played in a League Cup final since 11-12, and they're the only player from their country to do so, Sakala and Izaguirre. Are you just leaving all of this to Mark?
Are you still looking at me? I thought you had one there. I thought you were going to be like Gordon.
Sorry, where's he from?
No, he's not on the list.
Ivory. Was he Ivory?
That's not a terrible...
That's a good shot.
Not a terrible
shot. Gamboa?
No.
Oh. Key?
Nope. Struggling now?
Vladimir Weiss?
Sounds like... Oh, rubbish. Right, okay. You're miles off it now. We will get the rest of the answers and more of your calls and back to Celtic Park next.
Cash for Kids, Mission Christmas with J&D Pierce, Scotland's premier structural steel specialist, changing landscapes across the UK.
If you ignore everything that we've said tonight, and there's a high chance that you will, if you take one thing away, if you remember one thing from tonight's show, please make it be this. If you text the word CAR to 84901, C-A-R to 84901, that donates £5, a voluntary £5 donation to Cash for Kids. Every penny of that goes right into our communities, to the children that need it, and it puts you in the draw for a brand new BMW 1 Series, thanks to Arnold Clark. Of course, the cost of your standard network rate message is on top of that, which I'm sure you understand. The entries close at 6pm Saturday the 16th of December. It's over 18s only, and full T's and C's are at Clyde1.com. It is an unbelievable win-win situation. Make a difference to local children. Win a brand new BMW 1 Series. Thanks to Arnold Clark. Text CAR to 84901.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
We will go back to Celtic Park very soon indeed. We could squeeze in some calls if you fancy it. 0141 951 1025. Right, on tonight's teaser, we are looking for six Old Firm players. They've played in a League Cup final since 2011-12, and they're the only player from their country to do so. Sakala, Izaguirre, that's all you've got so far.
Kolo Touré.
No. Do you want to know what's really bad about that? Right, where is Kolo Touré from?
Ivory Coast.
Right,
Coast,
during the break, I told you that on top of the Old Firm players, I had a list of like non-Old Firm players.
Right.
And I told you that Cedric Kipre from Motherwell was the only Ivorian to have
that's
done it.
Right.
You've then come back on air and given
that.
Me Kolo Touré.
Mr. 2000's all over the place, man. That's what I'm saying your name as in my phone.
This guy's not contributing to anything.
I'm just making life happy.
He's having a go at me.
It is funny how in football academy speak, they do that, don't they? Yeah. Oh, he's an 06 or he's an 05. Mm-hmm. Do you walk about and be like, I'm an 84.
I kind of get my head around it. Well, I did tonight, obviously. That's the only time I've ever used that.
There we go. Anyway,
I kind of get my head around
anymore.
It.
Matthew sent me a tweet. He got it right. He says, right, give
he got them all.
Because, no, because oh. You're struggling. He says, is X the only Colombian?
Marlos.
Is he?
Yeah.
I was going to say that as well.
Oh, really? Sure.
No, that's my next guess.
Yeah. Right, okay.
You will have played with one of them.
Okay.
So there's two Celtic and one Rangers remaining, and I think you would have played with one of the Celtic ones.
So 2011.
You probably just can overlap though.
Okay.
I'm now not as confident, but close. We would say.
Play for the same team.
Scored a very big goal on a very big Champions League night.
Oh, Wanyama.
There we go.
Yeah, he was for Kenya. Wanyama,
he was. Okay, we'll leave it there. Two to get, one Celtic, one Rangers. Let's go back to Celtic Park. Just get a flavour of the build-up, a recap of the teams. I mean, Gabriel, these nights generally, it's all about the noise. The Celtic Park atmosphere in Champions League night, certainly before the game, is loud. What's it like tonight, given that there's not that much at stake?
Well, Gordon, yesterday I was speaking to Captain Callum McGregor, and he said that all of the fans were expecting a shootout. This would be the game, even if it was just to get into the Europa League. This is the one that they earmarked as the most winnable match. So it's been, ticket sales-wise, a positive night. But the atmosphere here, it seems one of hope that they can just get one victory and that perhaps they could take that into next year's tournament. I think that the fans here are respectful that the manager might not have had the signings he wanted in the summer, and that many of the players playing, as we see tonight, are ones not experienced at this level. So I wouldn't say it's been too disappointing, Gordon, but I will also say with 10 minutes to go, it is not packed out here just yet. What you would usually expect on a Champions League night is, as the names are being read out behind me, the stadium, the roof to be lifted off this place. We've not quite got that, Gordon. But fans hopeful, expectant, and perhaps they finally can get that victory here at Parkhead.
Yeah, Mark Wilson, it's hard to replicate it, I guess, for the fans. Once they're in the heat of the battle, they'll still make a noise if a refereeing decision doesn't go their way or whatever. But
Well, so they should, because there's so many unwanted records that Celtic are kind of holding just now. Well, not records, but unwanted tags that they're holding the Champions League just now. I don't get it. You have to buy these tickets as a package, a three-game package. Got the package, just go along and support. It's not as if, you know, tickets are readily made available on the day for these things. So, like, I'm surprised at that because Brendan Rodgers stated how much he wants to win this. It is important that Celtic get back on the horse again in terms of rhythm and style of play. And tonight's the ideal opportunity to do it. So I think the fans that have went along tonight will be in store for a fantastic game.
It's like we said earlier, Marvin, there's no point in going too strong on the team lineup because this team might go and win. They might go and win convincingly tonight, and then this all becomes redundant. But you can understand why it all adds to it. So we know there's nothing that can really be won tonight. And Celtic fans, legitimately, I think, would look at it pre-match and say, you know, Stephen Welsh is starting a game which it's not about him, it's about what's happened with the recruitment. Then he's not played a single minute since August, 4 months today. Mikey Johnson plays. It's just all, it feels like the Celtic fans are looking for something to really, really inspire them at the moment.
Yeah, they are. And like you said, you know, they look at the starting team and, you know, keep going back to recruitment, etc. And the thing that can inspire them today is those Celtic players that are on the pitch going out there and putting a performance on. I think, you know, the players will be saying that we owe them a performance. As Callum McGregor said, they thought this would be kind of the shootout game where, you know, they'd be going head-to-head, probably the most winnable game for them. Now go out there and do it. You know, you're playing for a massive club, regardless of the amount of fans that were in that football club. Every time they pull that shirt on, they should do it with pride. And I'm sure that's what they'll be saying to each other. And just go out there, perform and win this game of football. All the records and et cetera that will come with it, you know, once you've broken that, is what it is. But today it's just about performing for the fans who have turned out, and, you know, just end your Champions League campaign for this season on a high.
Right, go on then. Will they?
Yes, tonight they, I believe they will. Yeah.
Okay. And where are you getting that confidence from?
Because I do think it is the most winnable game. I have seen signs in previous Champions League games that have been good but vulnerable at the back, and I don't know if that bit will be fixed. But I've seen enough from O'Reilly and McGregor pushed on a wee bit in Palma and Kyogo in the Champions League to know that they'll give Feyenoord problems. I think they'll win 2-1 tonight.
Okay. I was just looking through the team, just a kind of boring observation, because I know injuries and availability play a big part in this anyway. The final Champions League group game last season was the Real Madrid away, is that right?
Yep. 5-1.
So let me see. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 players who started that night are missing.
Yeah,
missing tonight. It's only Hart, Taylor, O'Reilly and Kyogo the same.
I don't know this, but I wonder if you compare that to other teams who are consistently in the Champions League, if there's that, you know, higher turnover. Like
I,
say, and
I know there's injuries as well, because as an example, Moritz Jens played that night, and but it's just. Just feels very different. It feels like you go through the full Celtic team right now.
The argument that we had last year was that this Celtic side would be better off for the first Champions League experience this year because there'd be more experience. But look, there's been a change of manager, a change of style, a change of personnel, however yielded the same results.
Right, two more quickly then. We'll see whatever happens at Celtic Park tonight. You'll find out all about it tomorrow, I'm sure. The reaction will be here on the open line. Looking for two more Old Firm players who've played in a League Cup final since 2011-12 and are the only players from their country to do so. Sakala Morelos is the only Colombian. Izaguirre, Honduras. Wanyama from Kenya.
Come on, Marv, that's your big moment.
Are they pre or post me, Gordon? 15-16.
One is round about then when you arrived, a touch after. Yeah, round about then. Yeah. And the other one's quite recent. He's not at Rangers anymore, but he's a fairly recent.
Did you say, oh, they're like,
No.
Right, give us countries. What? Countries.
Denmark.
Oh, no.
Come on, Denmark. Seriously.
Oh.
O'Reilly?
No. What?
Oh, well, actually, football nationality, now that you mentioned
Matt Riley,
it.
No, the centre half that went down to Aya.
No? No, he's from Norway.
Is he Norwegian?
There's a centre half in there.
It's close enough, though.
Yeah.
Sviatchenko.
Do you know what? I'm kind of wondering now if actually Matt O'Reilly nullifies that one.
Yeah, definitely.
Recently,
does.
But anyway, right. One more Finland. One
redeem
more.
Myself in a right there. Finland. Kamara.
Yes. Well done.
Well
right.
Done, Mark.
Thanks, Marvin, so for five. Contributing.
I'll let you borrow my pen.
I'll bring back Gordon DL. I sent in his pal buzzer. Who takes him all the answers. We don't need.
Yeah, no, I didn't get them all last night. You know, sometimes you feel like honesty is just the best policy on the show.
Oh, what's happened?
That's what I needed to hear, because like usually the music plays and I've got like a specific second. It's not as easy as it looks this, you know. I have to end the show on. But that music should have started playing like 2 minutes ago and I still can't hear it. And I'm kind of looking.
Just chat then. Let's just talk.
I'm looking at the clock and I'm like,
no, I'm enjoying this.
How did you get
here?
Your one in Saturday, Marvin?
What we'll do is we will leave it there and we are back at 6 o'clock tomorrow.